Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome into Duval Daily, presented by JenJag.com. I'm Jordan DeLuga. Thanks so much for tuning in here on Thursday, March 21st. Today we are talking about, are the Jaguars better right now heading into the 2024 season than they were in 2023? Of course, this picture is not completely painted yet. We still have the NFL draft, but we're going to look at if the Jaguars got better in free agency than they were before free agency, if they got better than they were in 2023. So really appreciate y'all tuning in. If you enjoy the content here, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. You can also check out jenjag.com/shop, pick up some new Duval gear. So looking at this, what are the factors and if the Jaguars are a better football team? You know, internal development, certainly. Player retention, coaching retention, player and coaching additions, all that fun stuff is going to factor into whether or not the Jaguars are a better football team heading into 2024, and also the experience of the epic collapse at the back end of the 2023 season, right? I think that that will have an impact on the Jaguars one way or the other. Will it be positive or negative? I'm not entirely sure. I think we have to wait to see based on what happens early on in the 2024 season, but based on the people that are in that locker room, the coaches and the players, I think that they will take positives from what happened at the end of the season and grow from it rather than letting it kind of bog them down. But again, we'll have to see how that plays out. Again, I said the picture isn't entirely clear because the draft hasn't happened yet. Last year in the first round, the Jaguars landed one of their most important players in Anton Harrison, who had a very good rookie year. But we do have an idea of where this is trending now that wave one of free agency is in the books. There figures to be some internal development with some of the young talents that they have, in my opinion. I think like you can bank on Trayvon Walker getting better in year three. He has shown improvement the last couple years, like had a big jump in 2023 for the Jaguars. I think in 2024, he'll have another big jump, especially with Ryan Nielsen coming over and being an influence on that defensive front. As the defensive coordinator, a former defensive line coach, well-respected defensive line coach. I mean, you talk to anybody who's coached, who he has coached on the defensive line, whether it be as a coordinator or a defensive line coach, they love what Ryan Nielsen did for them. You talk about Tyson Campbell. He's entering a contract season at this point, so I expect him to play well. Andre Sisco, same thing. Anton Harrison going into year two fully healthy. He played through a shoulder injury last year. I think you can expect some improvement from him. Devin Lloyd going into year three. He showed progress last year as well. Antonio Johnson going into year two. He has more experience under his belt. I would expect most of those guys to perform and be a little bit better in 2024 than they were in 2023. And Tyson Campbell and Andre Sisco were battling through injuries, as I mentioned. Anton Harrison was as well. Devin Lloyd broke a piece of bone in his hand. So, I mean, yeah, I think those guys you can expect some improvement from. Then there's the new defense, as I mentioned, Ryan Nielsen coming in. Based on what we've seen from Nielsen in Atlanta and New Orleans, this defense should be more organized, more cohesive, more well-coached, more aggressive. Their focus is nothing cheap, nothing deep. You know, make opposing offenses kind of live in that mid-range game. I mean, I think that's really smart. Like, you look at the NBA, defenses want to make teams shoot the mid-range jumper. You don't want to give up any layups. You don't want to give up the three-point line, right? So I think it makes a lot of sense for them. And so you're pressing up on the line of scrimmage, not allowing anything quick and easy, and then you're also crowding the back end of the field, not giving up a lot of space. in the deep passing game. I love that. And again, I think he should get more out of the defensive linemen, the defensive front players. That includes the outside linebackers, Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker. Looking at departures for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Darius Williams, Calvin Ridley, Foley Fatukasi, Rayshon Jenkins, Brandon McManus, Jamal Agnew. Those are the big ones. You also have Kalavon Chase on heading elsewhere. Additions, Eric Armstead, Mitch Morris, Ronald Darby, Darnell Savage, Gabe Davis, Joey Sly, Devin Duvernay, Travis Gibson. There's some big names on both of those lists, right? They did keep some core special teamers in Daniel Thomas, Caleb Johnson, Dearness Johnson. I think those were all smart moves. This is a team that values special teams, as you've seen over the last several years with some of the moves they've made. You know, signing Jamal Agnew to a fairly big deal, then signing Devin Duvernay to a fairly big deal, making sure they keep their in-house core special teamers in place. They've done that quite a bit. Free agency is not over. So I do expect some more depth moves. I don't expect any real big splashes from the Jaguars at this point. But among the list of departures and additions, I think Eric Armstead is by far the best and most impactful player. The role that he's going to fill is going to be critical for the Jaguars. He will help against the run and the pass. He will be able to line up as a big defensive end and set the edge. He will be able to kick inside and penetrate against guards and centers. I just love that fit for the Jacksonville Jaguars, for Eric Armstead. And he's one of the few people that you've heard really talk super positively about his relationship with Trent Baalke. You just don't hear that a lot. So that is nice to hear, right? You know, if Trent Baalke is going to be the Jaguars GM, it is nice to hear some players that he drafted actually talk positively about him, because you mostly hear the opposite end of things. Certainly not from anyone in Jacksonville so far, because he's still their GM, but take a look at some of the comments from other former 49ers players, not as glowing about Trent Baalke, but neither here nor there at this point. Calvin Ridley, probably the second best player, but didn't always play like it in 2023, certainly coming off almost 2 years of not playing. He made plenty of mistakes that cost the team. He also made some absolutely great plays that helped the team out tremendously, helped them win some football games. There's definitely a drop-off in talent from him to Gabe Davis. But Davis might be a better team fit overall. The reason I say that is because he is a vertical threat. That is his game. He's a big-bodied receiver, you know, 6'3", 215, 220 pounds, can go up and get the football for you a little bit, and he will block his ass off. He's going to make a much bigger impact as a blocker, which is important out there in a Doug Peterson offense, than pretty much anyone they've had over the last couple years. And Zay Jones, he will bust his butt trying to block as well if he's still in Jacksonville. But Gabe Davis, he does such a tremendous job in that department, which is a unheralded piece of the puzzle at wide receiver. Mitch Morse, he may have been the most important addition. You did not lose anyone at center. You just gained a plus starter who is replacing, Luke Fortner still on the team, replacing one of the worst starters in the game last year. That is massive for this football team. Like, for the interior of the Jaguars offensive line to not consistently crater anymore in pass protection, for Brandon Scherff and Ezra Cleveland to be able to feel like they have someone competent in between them at center.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
That is massive. And Mitch Morse is an athlete, right? He can get out on the move in the run game, create some displacement. His punches land, and they make an impact. So Mitch Morse, I think that was just huge. Like, he's not an elite center, but he is a plus starter. And the difference between having one of the worst centers, starting centers in the league, versus having a plus starter, cannot overstate how important that is for the Jaguars. Darius Williams to Ronald Darby is an interesting one. Probably lateral when you consider the defensive scheme change. One of the things about the Jaguars' previous defense is they were in zone coverage almost exclusively for the most part. They ran very little man coverage. And when they did, they usually got burned. Darby is a better fit for this scheme where they're going to run a lot more man coverage, a lot more press coverage. He's a talented football player, a good athlete who can play press. He's been injured a lot throughout his career. I don't think they're done at cornerback, but I do think right now if they had to go into the season, Tyson Campbell, Ronald Darby being their two starters outside, I think they feel pretty good about that. Another thing I forgot to kind of mention about the defensive scheme change, I said how the Jaguars are now going to want to deny anything cheap and anything deep. That's kind of the opposite of the strategy the Jaguars had under Mike Caldwell. Caldwell, his first thought was always about stopping the run, which in 2024, probably not the best philosophy, right? You should be more focused on stopping the pass. That's going to help you win more games. You got to be able to do both, right? But I think focusing more on the pass is more important. And then also, playing the off-zone coverage that they played, they allowed lots of cheap stuff, right? All the underneath stuff was easy and readily available for a lot of opponents. And so the Jaguars aren't going to be doing that anymore. And I think that Ronald Darby, that addition of that being on the outside at corner, is going to help them in that regard. I definitely think Darnell Savage is a better player than Rayshon Jenkins, especially in coverage. Better athlete, more fluid, reads the game well. Both of these guys miss a lot of tackles. Darnell Savage misses a little bit more than Rayshon Jenkins, but I think the way they're going to deploy him is more as a coverage player. Rayshon Jenkins played in the box a lot around the line of scrimmage. He's missed a lot of tackles. Darnell Savage has as well. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Savage is a better tackler. He's probably a little bit less consistent as a tackler, but I think he's much more consistent as a coverage player. And again, coverage is the name of the game in 2024, especially when you've got CJ Stroud in your division. You got Anthony Richardson, who I think is going to be unleashed. Obviously, you didn't really get your answer on if he's the guy or not in 2023 because of injuries, but he's got all the talent in the world. And then Will Levis and that offense in Tennessee, they're definitely taking a step forward as well. I wouldn't have been fired up about Brandon McManus returning. I'm even less fired up about Joey Sly, but the Jaguars do still have Riley Patterson, who at the very least is an accurate kicker inside of 50, a guy that has won you a playoff game. Again, he's almost perfect inside of 50 yards. Like if it's an inside of 50, you can pretty much guarantee that Riley Patterson is going to make it for you. He's not going to miss extra points. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they draft a kicker. That would kind of surprise me. Maybe they bring in an undrafted free agent. But if Joey Sly is the starting kicker, I feel even worse about that than I would have about Brandon McManus. We'll see how that plays out. Devin Duvernay replacing Jamal Agnew is a push for me. Both of those guys are among the best returners and specialists in the game. Travis Gibson is a major upgrade over anything they had as edge depth last year. DeJuan Smoot coming off the Achilles was not the same player. Kalavon Chaisson was the same player you've seen for the first 3 years of his career in year four, and it was not a good football player, not a good depth player. So, Mitch Morse, Eric Armstead, Darnell Savage, all of them make this team way better in my opinion. Ridley, losing him probably makes the team a little bit worse in the talent department. Ridley to Davis makes them a less talented football team. But does it really hurt the offense? I'm not sure, because The Jaguars kind of tried to force feed Calvin Ridley the football. It was not super efficient last year. Maybe Davis just coming in as like probably your third target and a guy who maybe makes more sense in this offense is a good thing. Because you're not going to force feed him the ball necessarily. You have Christian Kirk, you have Evan Ingram, who are probably, you know, 1A and 1B in this passing game. And then you have Davis, and then you have Jones. Again, Zay Jones is currently on the roster. We'll see how that plays out. But maybe just fitting into the offense more. Not as talented. Not going to sit here and say you're as talented, but probably just a better fit. Williams to Darby is a push, in my opinion, as I mentioned. Like, Darius Williams in a vacuum, I think, is better than Ronald Darby. But is he better than Ronald Darby for a press man scheme? Probably not. But I do want to give Darius Williams credit because I just think he's such an underrated player in this league. And I wish the Jaguars would have kept him. I do think, though, that they're better right now. But the draft has a chance to make them much better, in my opinion. Like, if they walk away from this draft with a starting level cornerback and wide receiver, I think this offseason is a great success. Like, if they go cornerback round one, wide receiver round two, let's say you land Kool-Aid or Tarion, the Alabama kids, one of those guys at 17, or if you trade down a little bit, whatever, and then go get like Ricky Pearsall or Jalen Polk in round two, someone in that range, I think that you're set up to thrive on both sides of the ball. Or if you go the reverse order, wide receiver in round one with like Adonai Mitchell, Keon Coleman, Brian Thomas Jr., and then like a Rake Straw, Sandra Still, Renardo Green, Kyrie Jackson, someone of that ilk, I think you're in business. I really do. Now the Texans are better. The Colts are better, should be better. The Titans will be better, still a little bit behind in my opinion. It's going to be a dogfight in the AFC South, but I think with a little more injury luck, I think this offseason has set them up for more success in 2024 than they had in 2023. Will Trent Baalke ace the draft? I think that's going to be the ultimate question here. Will he be able to land two guys that can come in and make an impact, again, at cornerback and wide receiver? Because I think if you have one more quality piece at receiver and one more quality corner, you're feeling really good about this football team. But again, I do think the massive addition of Arik Armstead and the huge leap in play that you're getting at center from Mitch Morris over Luke Fortner, that sets you up to play much better football because you're going to be much better in the trenches on the interior. And can't wait to see how that plays out. But would love to know what your thoughts are on this football team. Are they better now than they were in 2023? Drop your comments in the comment section below. You can hit me up on Twitter. Let me know as well. If you enjoy the content here, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. And don't forget, you can check out jinjag.com/shop. Pick up some new Duval gear. Y'all have a good one.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.